Well, we turn then this evening to God's Word, and I want to bring to you from Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 18, just the last little phrase, that in all things He that is Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Now, those of you that drive cars, when you put your ignition key in the lock, in the ignition, you turn it. And particularly in modern day vehicles, a whole array of lights come on the dashboard. That's the immediate effect of turning on the ignition. And there's no worry, is there? There's no anxiety, no concern. If perhaps one by one each of those lights goes out. If one stays on, perhaps you hesitate. You drive on and another comes on and then you're worried. You know the sort of thing I'm talking about. Those lights are giving you a message, aren't they? They're either all out, indicating that there's no problems, or one may be on, telling you that something is wrong. Something needs attention. Fail to take any notice of that warning light, and you'll soon be in trouble. Perhaps serious trouble. What is happening? Your car is constantly carrying out basic diagnostic checks for your safety. That's what it's about, isn't it? And I want us to be reminded this evening that our conscience is doing exactly the same thing. It's constantly checking. And if conscience speaks, we do well to pay attention and to give heed to what it is saying. And I say that because this evening I want us to ask ourselves, are we functioning properly as Christians? Your Christian life, what does it say about you? Are you functioning properly? Now, Paul, in this wonderful letter, is writing to the Colossians, and particularly in this first chapter, well, and through the opening few chapters, particularly about the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that He is the Lord of our lives. He tells us that He is our Savior from our sin. He tells us, even in the verses we've read this evening, that He is the Creator to whom we are accountable. And as a consequence of these things, as our Lord and our Savior and our Creator, He is to have, in the words of our text this evening, the preeminence in all things. If He doesn't have the preeminence, we are malfunctioning. If He does not have the evidence, the preeminence, we need to stop. We need to pause and give attention to that particular part of our lifestyle. I want this evening to turn this verse like a key, that in all things He may have the preeminence. I want to use that as a key, if you like, in the ignition of our lives. And as we do so, is a light going to come on? Will it go out? Let's turn to these wonderful words, that in all things He may have the preeminence. And first thing I want to ask this evening is, does Christ have the preeminence in your spiritual life? That's an important question. A vitally important question. Particularly in the context of your salvation. Go outside these doors and you will find that many people will be claiming many ways to get to heaven. They will be claiming, some will even themselves be claiming that they, if you follow them, they are the way to paradise and to God. Thousands of people are seeking to save themselves without Christ. Some will be doing it by trying to live a good life. I've no quarrel with someone who wants to live a good life. But it won't get you to heaven. Some will be following a religion and a system of religion. Some will even be following a system of Christianity. But without Christ, it won't get them to heaven. Some will say, well, I'm doing my best, as best I can, trying to save themselves without Christ. Won't get them to heaven. How important is Christ to you in salvation? What does Jesus say? No one comes to the Father, only through me. Only through me. The testimony of Scripture and of the apostles is there is no salvation in anyone else. Can I ask you, just turn the key in your life? In the matter of your salvation, who is the most important person? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you? If not, and I say it in love, but if you are not looking to Him alone as your Savior, you are as lost as when you first began. He is preeminent in the matter of our salvation. How preeminent is He? Is He preeminent in your devotional life as a Christian? The world looks at you and observes you. I'm not concerned now about how you go about your devotional life. Many manuals will do all that for you. But I'm asking you, what is the focus of your devotional life? Does it, sadly, I hold my hand up, guilty at times, does it not sometimes become just a routine? A habit, perhaps, that sets you up for the day? An exercise that gives you a cozy, comfortable feeling? Or does the Lord Jesus Christ feature prominently and preeminently as you pour out your heart before Him, lost in wonder, in love, and in praise? Does He feature prominently as you listen to His voice in His Word, like Samuel? You remember Samuel, the little boy in the tabernacle? Speak, your servant is listening. Is that how you read the Word of God? Is Christ the focus of your praise? Is it His voice that you want to hear speaking as you turn to His Word, as you turn to the Scriptures day by day? Does He feature prominently as you come to Him in your prayer, committing your life and your concerns to Him, that you seek Him in all your need. You seek Him because you want Him to be glorified rather than you to be blessed. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we don't pray for blessing. Of course we do. But why do I want to be blessed? Why do you want to be blessed? As a Christian, in a healthy way, as a healthy Christian, I want blessing for His glory. When you come and pray for your needs to be provided for, is it just because you've got a need and you want it sorted out? Or do you say, Lord, provide for me in this need that I may bring greater glory to You? Does He have the preeminence? In the matter of your salvation, in the matter of your life, as you are devoted to Him, in your devotions, when you come to encourage yourself in your devotional time, where are you looking for the encouragement? How did David? He was in a low situation, but he encouraged himself where? In the Lord. In all things, He must have the preeminence. How about your corporate worship? In your corporate worship, and I make bold this evening, you are entering into a new phase of church life. Who's having the preeminence? I say it tenderly, but who's got the preeminence? Is it the Lord, the head of the church? Oh, I pray that it will be. That when you come together for worship, when you come together to serve the Lord, it will not be for self-centered reasons. It will not be to come and have the feel-good factor. It will not be a dull routine to please others. Not be the done thing. Not because a certain church's worship style is attractive to your nature. Not because you've got a good minister. Not because you enjoy being part of the group. But because coming together glorifies God. That at the very heart, that the heartbeat of your worship together will be the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Because true worship brings glory to God alone. That's its purpose. That's its function. It brings glory to God the Father through God the Son by the prompting of God the Holy Spirit. And who's at the center? Father, Son, and Spirit. Who's at the center? Christ is central. Christ is to be preeminent in worship, in praise, in prayer, in reading the Word, in the preaching of the Gospel. Can I ask you a question? Is the warning light coming on? Is the warning light flashing as I turn the key? Don't ignore it if it is. But deal with the situation with God's help. Let me move on. Let me turn the key in your daily life. Does Christ have the preeminence there, day by day? Our daily life is often the warning light that comes on because our spiritual life is lacking. Consider. Turn the key. As regards your thought life and your attitudes. The more our mindset reflects the mindset of Christ, the more preeminence He will have in our thinking processes. What is it that Paul says as he writes to the Philippians? Let this mind be in you that was in also in Christ Jesus. And what was the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let Jesus give us the answer to that question. I am meek. I am humble. I am lowly and gentle in heart. Is that you? Is that me? How often do we think of Christ? My mind goes off on all sorts of tangents at times, and so does yours. Does it always come back to Christ? Like the iron filings being drawn and attracted to the magnet. Is He the great magnet of your mind? In times of relaxation, where's Christ in the thinking? In times of decision, of work, of pressure. When you're having to consider these things, important things to consider, we mustn't neglect them. But is Christ being given the preeminence? How will this glorify Christ? Because your thoughts find expression. They always do. Where do they find expression? Let me ask you, let me turn the key another notch. Is Christ preeminent in your conversation and how you speak? Where does your mind find expression? In the way you speak, from what you say. What do you talk about? How do you say it? When you read these wonderful chapters in Colossians, look at Paul. Christ is so much in his thoughts that he's bubbling over when he writes and he speaks. He cannot help himself. And nor should you and I be able to. How often do you speak of Christ? That will reveal to some degree how often you think of Christ. And it's no good hiding behind the fact that, well, no one can know my thoughts. You don't know how much I think. It was said of Peter, your speech betrays you. Does our speech betray that there's something wrong in our thought life? That Christ is not there as much as he should be? But you see, when you think and when you speak, that also finds expression. Because very often the way you think and what you say leads into what you do. How about your lifestyle? How about the conduct of your life? The man who has the mind of Christ will be speaking constantly of Christ and will be living for Christ. He is one who in verse 10 of our chapter walks worthy of the Lord and is fruitful in every good work, who increases in the knowledge of God. I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at myself. Is the warning light on? He is one who in Colossians chapter 3, what does he do? He puts things to death. And he puts off, he divests himself of things. Chapter 3 and verse 3. Verse 5. Put to death your members which are on the earth. And then there's a list of things. In verse 8, you yourselves are to put off all these. And then there's a list of things. And at the same time, in verse 10, he puts on. And there's a list of things. And in verse 12, he puts on. And another list of things. haven't got time to go through them all this evening. But the man who has the mind of Christ, speaks of Christ and lives for Christ, takes up the challenge of chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Who's got the preeminence? The Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father. How? Through Him. He takes up that challenge. And he applies it in his home life. He applies it in the place of learning. Applies it in the place of work. Applies it in the church. Is a warning light flashing? Don't ignore it. Is a warning light flashing because you perhaps are not giving Christ the place He should have in your life? And that place is the top place, the preeminence. Don't ignore it, friend. Deal with it. You might think then of our spiritual life and our daily life. How about in our relationships, one with another? We could think of that in a number of ways this evening. I'll just hint at them. How about your relationship with God? There is no peaceful relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ. If Christ is not preeminent in your relationship with God, you have no relationship with Him. By nature, you are out of fellowship with God. And only Christ can reconcile you to Him. Only Christ can bring God and sinners together in reconciliation. Is Christ preeminent in your relationship with God? In your personal relationships? A right relationship at every level finds its focus and finds its standard in the Lord Jesus Christ. In your family relationships. As husbands and wives. Paul's going to deal with that later on in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 18, through to the first verse of chapter 4, talking about the Christian home and husbands and wives. He's going to continue and speak about parents and children. Are we observing the standard of Christ? Is He preeminent? People look at your home and they look at your family and they see you relating one with another in the family circle. And they say, how do you do it? And you say, I wonder myself sometimes. But the only answer really is, because this is how Christ relates to His people. And I am reflecting that. Is that how the world will look at you and your family and your home? And when we think of family relationships, how about the church family? As brothers and sisters in Christ, are we giving Christ the preeminence? If people walk in to your officers' meetings, people walk into your church members' meetings, people walk in to fellowship gatherings, what do they see? Christ, preeminent. That's the standard. It's a high standard. It's a worthy standard. And it's the only standard worthy of such a Saviour. Let us strive for it. Let us press towards it. But as I speak of relationships, there are relationships beyond those closer relationships, aren't there? How about our wider relationships and the way in which we interact with the world? You can't shut yourself away. You can't closet yourself from the world. You've got to interact with it day by day. Your interaction with the world and society in which you live, does it give Christ the preeminence? Does he have the preeminence in the workplace? As far as you're concerned, it won't. As far as they're concerned, how about yourself? After all, you're the Christian. You should be living for the glory of Christ. Colossians 3 deals with that. In society, generally, Romans 13. Is the warning light on? It's easier to give Christ the preeminence at home where no one is watching. Easy to do it, in a sense, on your own. But how about out there? At the coal face of this world. Is the warning light on? Don't ignore it, friend, if it is. Go straight to Christ and ask Him to deal with the situation for you. And be warned. He may have to take drastic measures. But deal with it, He will. Oh, give Him the preeminence in all these situations. When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, it will transform your whole life such that it gives God, gives Christ the preeminence. Giving Him the preeminence will do something to you. It will make you like the godly man in Psalm 1. That lovely little psalm. Blessed is the man, if you are walking with Christ, if you're giving Him the preeminence, you will not be walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the path of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, but your delight will be in the law of the Lord. You will be meditating in His law day and night. But listen, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit, not withering and prospering. Blessed is the man who gives Christ the preeminence. That's not your purpose in giving Him the preeminence, mind. That's the consequence of it. Your purpose is His glory. And the consequence will be your blessing. You will enjoy the blessings. Just before we came into worship this evening in our prayer meeting, we had Psalm 23 read to us. You will enjoy the blessings of that wonderful shepherd psalm when you give Christ, the good shepherd, the preeminence. You will prove the truth of Psalm 121 in a new way. That psalm that speaks to us of the Lord being our protector and being our guide and being all those wonderful things. You'll experience these things in a new way as you give Christ the preeminence. Let me close by simply saying, turn the key often in the ignition. Do the lights stay on or do they go out? They go out. You set out on the journey. But as you're on the journey of life, the light comes on. Deal with it. Stop. You don't want to break down irretrievably. Stop and deal with the warning light. And if I may personally say, as I close then this evening, may God bless you as a church here at Maryport Street. But oh, I urge you, and I urge our brother, oh, in all things, give Christ the preeminence, and you'll be blessed. Don't let self intrude. Give Him the glory, and He'll bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You again. We thank You, dear Lord, for Your Word. Lord, these wonderful truths do search us out. They come very close to us, Lord. Lord, like those car lights on the car dashboard, Lord, they They flash sometimes. And we need to pay attention. Oh Lord, we want to give you the glory. And surely, Father, the best way of giving God the Father glory is to give His Son the preeminence in our life, in all that we are and all that we think, say and do. Lord, we want to give the Son of God the preeminence. We want to give Him the glory. And O Holy Spirit, how it glorifies You when we give Christ preeminence. Because, Lord, there's the evidence of Your work in our hearts. O Lord, do help us, we pray, that in all things we may give Him and Him only the preeminence. We ask in His precious name. Our closing hymn then is 500.